need to make some correction from the message last Sunday. That's why. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and it says this, faith comes from hearing the message. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You know, there was somebody who emailed me, a Bible scholar in this church, and it was very gracious. It was so gracious, and he kind of shared what he thought about this passage, this verse. And you know, what I did was, from this passage, I did it in Greek. Okay, when you do literally from Greek, this is what it says: faith comes from hearing. There's no message here, but just faith comes from hearing, and hearing through rhema, the spoken word of Christ. Okay, that's how you would translate it in Greek if you want to do it literally. And I did the Greek. Okay, I did the Greek. And it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the spoken word of Christ. But, this Bible scholar in this church, said, we got. But if you look at the context and the historical context, and I listen to his argument, and I do agree with him. It's not just the, what we're talking about, you're seeking the voice of God, and the voice of God speaks to you. But here in this context, what it is at that time, people literally heard Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. They were with him in the ministry of Jesus. And what Jesus spoke was not just the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you see Jesus preach, he doesn't do expository preaching on the Old Testament. Did you know that? He spoke parables that was not in the Old Testament. Many teachings that, parables that was not in the Old Testament. And so, but there were people who heard the spoken word of Jesus at that time. And then that got taught to other people, and other people, and they were preaching this message. And I believe that's a more correct interpretation of this passage in the context. And so the Bible is inspired, but I'm not. And so what we see, the Bible distinguishes the Bible, the scripture, logos, the importance of the scripture, the inspired word of God, the Bible, the canon. And then the voice of God, the voice of God. But I told you last week, there's also overlap. And what you see today is the overlap, okay? The overlap between the Bible and the very voice of God spoken word of God, right? And so, if you really thought through it, you're not being critical, and this person was very gracious, and we were able to dialogue, I learned something. So, and this is how we interpret the scripture. Amen? And so, there's a passage, John chapter 7, verse 27, it's in the context, and it says, my sheep listens to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And again, this message was inspired by Derek Prince, okay? And it's not Joseph Prince. Derek Prince was, okay, it's not Joseph Prince. People mistake them. Derek Prince was, he passed away, Joseph Prince is a young guy. Derek Prince passed away. But in the 70s and the 80s, he did a very, I think he was a forerunner who preached and teach the biblical teaching on the work of the Holy Spirit. I think he was really a forerunner as I listened to him more and more and more. And so this message is inspired by Derek Prince. And it's and today I want to focus on learning to hear the voice of God. Okay? How do we hear God's voice? This is very important. As a Christian, we need to hear God's voice. The Lord Jesus in John 10, again, leads us to believe that hearing the voice of God is not unusual, okay? I believe in the perfect world, we would not confuse the voice of God, but the problem is this world is not perfect, and you and I are not perfect. And so many don't know or are poor at hearing the voice of God, okay? hearing the voice of God. You know, we mistake our own voice for the voice of God. We, we respond to stress, and you know, we think that's the voice of God. Pressure, the circumstances, you know, our emotion, our thoughts, you know, and we listen to lies, shame, guilt. You know, it could be our pride. You know, proud person always said, you know, God, I know what that. No, they don't. It's pride speaking. It's not God speaking. And there's demons, right, that lies to us. And so we believe whatever we think, whatever we feel, you know, that God is leading, God is talking to me, God, I'm hearing God's voice. But many times it's our own voice becomes God's voice. Our own desire becomes God's voice. So a bitter person will say, God is angry with you. A depressed person will say, God doesn't care. A critical person will say, God is disappointed with you. A fearful person will say, just do the comfortable thing. You know, don't shake the boat. You know, do the comfortable thing. A narcissist will say, I am the one God speaks to, and you need to listen to me. That's a narcissist. Right? And so, but we want to avoid this, and we want to learn how to hear the voice of God, because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, when you are able to hear the voice of God, your life will be blessed. But if you do not hear the voice of God, there will be a curse in your life that will overtake you. Right? So it's very important for God's people, from Old Testament to New Testament, to hear the voice of God. Right? And number one, very important, supreme importance, agreement with Scripture. There has to be agreement with Scripture. You see, the Bible testimony about itself, and you know, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all Scripture is inspired by God. Okay? It's inspired by God. God is the author of all Scripture, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. God inspired everything in the Bible. Okay? And so, because this Bible is inspired by God, God will, when he speaks to you, will never contradict himself. Does that make sense? He will never contradict himself. Therefore, God's voice will never contradict with the Bible. Right? It will never contradict with the Bible. God's voice that you feel like you're hearing from God will never tell you to violate, ignore, or rebel against Scripture. No matter how much you want it to be true, you know, what you're thinking, but it will never violate Scripture. Luke 21, verse 33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, logos, okay? My words is logos, not rhema. My words, the Bible, will never pass away. So, if you want, how many of you want to discern the voice of God in your life? Raise your hand, okay? Raise your hand. And well, then, this is a non-negotiable. You have to know, meditate, and study Scripture. Okay? There's no way around this. If you don't, you will always be confused about the voice of God. You'll always be confused about the voice of God. Huh? You have to meditate. You need to study. You have to know Scripture. You have to know the Bible. Huh? And so, okay, that's number one. It's obvious, right? We know that. Number two, a hearing heart. Say that to your neighbor. I want a hearing heart. So Jesus talks about a hearing heart in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, and Mark chapter 4, verse 23 is a, you know, same verse, same thing that he says. Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Okay? Now, Jesus was not at a deaf convention here, you know? That's not, you know, it's not talking about your physical hearing, it's not talking about your physical ear. Okay? Whoever has ears to hear. Okay? Jesus is talking about this inner condition, not your physical ear, but your heart. Inner condition of your heart. Whoever has ear, let them hear. We hear the voice of God from our heart. Okay? I don't know where your heart is. When I do this, I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? I don't know where your heart is. Yeah. And but you know what I'm, you know, and so we see in Scripture, look at Solomon. You know, God asked him, I want to give you anything you want. And this is what Solomon asked for in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. It says this, and I like the way NIV translates it. You know, I'm doing more language studies now. You know, Hebrew and Greek. You know, what I learned in seminary, and I'm starting to appreciate language study. I'm starting to appreciate the language study more. And it says, give your servant a discerning heart. You know, some translation translated as wisdom. What? But this is what Solomon actually asked for. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Okay? To distinguish between right and wrong. And what Solomon was asking for was it says discerning heart. Okay, in Hebrew, it could be literally be translated, discerning heart could be translated a hearing heart. Give me a hearing heart, and it's in the context so that I could hear your voice. This is what he's really actually, I believe, asking, so that I could hear your voice, so that You know, Solomon was faced with, he was confronted with a situation that was way too big for him. And he understood this. If you don't understand this, you don't ask for this. But he understood he was facing a situation that was way too big for him. And he says, God, give me a hearing heart so that I could hear your voice, so that I could discern what's right and what's wrong. Right? And because of that, there was tremendous, Solomon was, you know, under Solomon, Israel grew more than ever before. It became a great, great, great nation under Solomon, more than any other, even more than David. More than David. Right? And so, if you want to discern and learn how to hear God's voice, you need to, have this hearing heart. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 to 15. Matthew 13, verse 13 to 15. Okay, here's the opposite of a hearing heart. Okay, this is why I speak to them in parables. This is what Jesus says. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, okay? They just know how to hear physically, but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. And what does Jesus say? For the people's heart had become callous. Okay? It wasn't a hearing heart anymore, but a callous heart. So they can't hear, they can't see, they can't perceive. Psalm 95, verse 7 to 8, it says this, today, if only you would hear his voice. Okay? If you want to hear his voice, this is the commandment, do not harden your heart as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness. Okay? So what does the Bible say is the opposite of a hearing heart? It is a callous heart. What is the opposite of a sensitive heart? It is a hardened heart. Okay? Those who are spiritually deaf are those with callous and hardened heart. Okay? And what causes, our heart to become callous and hardened? We will all face rejection. There's trials in life. Okay, there's brokenness. There's spiritual battle. Your weakness comes out. Other people's weakness comes out. And when that happens, it's painful, right? you know, you don't need to, rejection is painful. I don't need to prove that to you, right? Rejection is painful. And so it's painful, it hurts you, it's difficult, it shakes you up. But my challenge to you is don't harden your heart. Okay? Don't make your heart callous, because then your heart won't hear the voice of God. We got to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus went through rejection. Jesus was abandoned. Okay? Jesus was spiritually attacked. Jesus went through difficult circumstances. As mad, he got betrayed. You know? And the Bible says, not just that, the sins of the world was put upon Jesus. Every rejection, every shame, every condemnation, every betrayal, every abandonment was put upon him on the cross. So none of you, you know, none of you can say to Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. That's what the Bible says in Hebrew. Right? You cannot tell Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. Right? You don't know what he went through. Huh? That's the more of a truth. Yet he never hardened his heart. Jesus always had a sensitive heart. Jesus says this in John 12, "For I do not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." Jesus, you know, spoke what he heard from his Father, because he had a sensitive heart, no matter how hard it became, right? No matter how difficult it became, he had a sensitive heart. No matter how fearful and scary it was, he had a sensitive heart. Amen? Now, it's like a good illustration is, say, a blind person, they're so sensitive, especially on the fingertip, when they read the Braille, you know, the bumps on the Braille, it means something to them. Huh? They could hear in their heart what it's saying. It's a sentence. It's a truth. It's a revelation. It's, you know, they could read the Braille because they're so sensitive to those bumps. Now, the reason I like that illustration is because the person who blind person who reads a Braille, they don't hear an audible voice. It's something more internal. They, from what's outside, they could translate it to the inside, and they know what it says. Okay, that's like us spiritually in our relationship with God. Okay? But our heart need to be sensitive to the voice of God. Can you imagine a blind person first time, they go, I don't even know what that says. What is that? Huh? I don't even feel it. And so they develop the sensitivity to Braille. So they could read it, they could understand it, they could hear it in their heart. Huh? And the Bible says God's people were stuck in the wilderness, died in the wilderness, never made it to the promised land, because in the midst of the trial, they couldn't develop a heart that could hear God's voice. But the Bible continuously say again and again, in the wilderness, they were stiff-necked people, meaning, they had callous heart, they had a hard heart. They had a hard heart. Huh? That's why they were stuck in the wilderness. You and I need, it wasn't God making them stuck. It was because they could not hear the voice of God. You and I need to cultivate this sensitive hearing heart. Huh? Amen? You know, what is a sensitive hearing heart? There's several passages that says this, but I'm going to just pick one. Proverbs 22, verse 17, because it says the same thing in other passage. It says this, you know, pay attention and turn your ear to the saying of the wise. Okay, apply your heart to what I teach. Okay? Now, there's two things in this verse. Okay, the other passage says, pay attention and turn your ears. Okay? Pay attention literally means attend to God. Attend to God. What does attend to God mean? Give God undivided attention. Okay? give God an undivided attention. You know, but this is one of the huge hindrances of the modern society here right now. Okay? There are so many voices you hear every day. Okay? Every day you hear so many voices. There's social media. You know, the busyness of life, stress and anxiety, addiction. You know, there's so many different voices, but what God says, in order to have a sensitive heart, this is very important, attend to God. You need to make God a priority. Okay? You need to make God a priority. And the second thing it says is turn your ears. Okay? What does it mean, turn your ears? You know, is it a physical ear? No, a lot of time when it's talking about this ear, it's talking, turn your ear. You know, a King James Version, I believe, has a better translated. It means this, bow down your ear. Okay? So bow down your ear. Okay, so number one, make God a priority. Attend to God if you want a sensitive heart. Bow down your ear, meaning humble yourself. Okay? Humble yourself. No matter how hard it is, you gotta make your heart teachable. Okay? Some people just wanna argue. No, you gotta be teachable. Humble yourself. Make yourself available. Make your heart open to something new. You know, a lot of people, it's not, they're open. You know, when I talk to some people, there's no room. There's no room for anything else but what they want to do. Okay? And so it says, bow down your ear. Make God a priority. Attend to God and bow down your ear. Humble yourself before the Lord. Right? And do those two things, and you'll develop a sensitive heart. Okay, so a hearing heart. Right? Amen? And number three, okay, tell your neighbor, be still. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Okay? Be still and know that I am God. Now, be still. What does that mean? Okay. The alternative definition, translation is cease striving and know that I am God. Let go and know that I am God. Okay. This is for us. Relax. Okay. Relax and know that I am God. You know, now I'm trying to, you know, when somebody comes to me all stressed and anxious, what does God want me to do? God wants us to, and they tell me what God wants. I don't want to listen to them. I don't. They're not speaking the voice of God, but they're speaking pressure. Right? So the Bible says, if you want to hear God's voice, learn to be still. See, David writes in his psalm, my soul waits in silence for God only. So what David does to, you know, he says to his heart, be still. He tells his heart to be still. And he has to get to this place where it's silent. And in this modern culture, you don't know how to be in that place of silence. Think about it. In your car, you're listening to radio, you know. You're in your room, you're listening to your iPad. You know, you don't know how to be silent. Matthew 6 talks about this closet that you have to go into when you pray. This closet. As a matter of fact, when I went to Israel, when I went to Jerusalem, looked at the house, there's no closets. None of those houses have closets. It's not like when they build, let's make an extra, it's maybe just one room. Huh? There's no closet. So what Jesus says, when he says closet, okay, what he means is go into that inner room. Go into that inner room. Meaning, you got to get to that place where you are calm. When you got to calm your mind, calm your emotion, calm your heart. See, when you're afraid, when you're stressed, And when you're pressure, you will miss the voice of God. You will miss it. When you're scared, you will miss the voice of God. You need to, what it's saying, go into your inner room. You need to train yourself to stop performing, striving, let go, relax. You know why? Because when I do hear the voice of God, you know what? He doesn't shout at me. He doesn't. He doesn't shout. Huh? Elijah, the Bible says God took him to Mount Horeb. And this is what the Bible said. God wasn't in the violent wind. He wasn't in the earthquake or this fire. It wasn't in the demonstration of power that God was there, but in this gentle whisper. Okay, gentle whisper. Many people mistake the demonstration as the voice of God. But if you truly want to hear the voice of God, you got to know how to go into the inner room. Moses. God spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting in the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle? That was the sacred place. That was the inner room, the closet. You need to find a place in your heart where you can worship, where you can fellowship with God, a place where you can be still, where you can shut out all the other voices and distraction. Huh? And this is so difficult. This is so difficult in the modern time. Yeah. Yeah, those technology and everything is great. It's great, you know. But the enemy could pervert anything that's good. Anything that's good. The enemy will pervert it. And that's what's going on right now. So many distractions, so many voices, so many noises. And the devil wants you to not hear the voice of God. Right? And so, yeah, every Christian needs to have that inner room where you can hear God. You need to develop it. It's not going to just automatically happen. You have to find that place. Right? And you see that in Jesus. You know, a lot of times chaotic, where's Jesus? Oh, he went to a lonely place. He went to a quiet place, and he's spending time with his Father. Oh, where is he? Oh, he went to the Mount of Olives again. he went to that quiet place. Jesus did that all the time. Why? Is it a ritual? You know, so you could, okay, I have my devotion, check. I read that chapter, check. No, he was talking to his Father. He was hearing his voice. Right. Number four, confirmation. Confirmation. Ephesians 3, verse 10 says, his intent was that now through the church, okay, through relationship in the church, manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. God's plan is through the church, through our relationship, through the people in the church, through one another, God's wisdom, God's will should be made known. So when you are seeking the will of God, you need to find confirmation. Not, you see, but a lot of time, we just look for people who will agree with us. No, you need counsel from a mature, godly believer. Right? Not somebody whose lives are chaotic, unstable, spiritually immature. You know, what I noticed about when I saw the charismatic circle, it seems like the people with the most chaotic life, most unstable life, are the one who wants to speak for God. I see this again. I saw it again and again and again. They want to take the mic and say, God says, and then you get their life. Their life is falling apart. But they want to speak for God. You know? What they need to do, if your life, okay, yeah, we shouldn't listen to them. I'm saying it. Hello? You should not listen to them. Right? And then, as I say this, some of you might be going, Pastor Sam, my life is pretty chaotic, you know? What are you saying? Well, if you realize your life is chaotic, unstable, that's half the battle. That's good. There's that revelation. Right? Don't focus on speaking for other people what God says. You need to focus on ordering your life. Right? You need to focus on ordering your life. Right? That's more important. But what happens is when your life is so chaotic, so broken, so unstable, people want to speak to other people the voice of God, what they're saying, to cover their brokenness. But the problem is if you're trying to cover your brokenness and get attention from people or feel better about yourself by speaking to other people what God is saying, you're going to mess up. You'll be somebody like, you have a log in your eye, the Bible says, and you just see the speck in somebody else, and you go, speck, speck, speck. Huh? You'll do more damage than good. So what Jesus says first, take the log out of your eyes, then you'll see more clearly. And then, speak to other people what God is, convicting you of. Huh? So I'm saying this in love. Okay, so if you're sitting here and go, my life is pretty chaotic. I don't think I'm spiritually mature. And you see that. The problem is most people whose life is very chaotic, they don't see it. It's everybody else's fault. You see it, that's the half the battle. And God loves you and say, now let's put order into your life. Let's put order into your life. Let's work on that. And I want to help you, God says. Right? And so, when I'm seeking God's will and his voice, and what I do is I confirm it with people who I trust, who I respect, and who are spiritually mature. Right? And that's the other step of confirmation. But does that make sense? Amen? Okay, amen. Five, okay, peace of God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, and the peace of God, this is not the peace that you get when you're eating good meal or you go to Hawaii, go to the beach. It says peace of God. Okay? Which transcends all understanding. This is God's peace. Which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Okay? And I kind of say, you got to do all the other stuff that I mentioned first. Okay? Make sure that it's in agreement. The voice you feel like you heard, make sure it's in agreement with Scripture. Okay? You kept your heart sensitive, attentive, and humble. And you've been seeking and that God's voice in the inner room, not what you ate that day, that didn't go well with you. Oh, I heard something. Not from that, okay? But in the inner room. And then finally, you have God's peace. Okay, this is very important because when God speaks to you, you will be stretched, okay? You will be challenged, and it many times will be scary, and many times will be encouraging and edifying. Right? But especially if it's direction, it will be scary. Right? If it's direction, it will be scary. Right? But what God says is, right, he will give you this peace that transcends all understanding, that will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This peace will give you strength, will give you the courage, will give you the assurance to obey his voice. Amen? Okay, let's pray. As a church, let's develop a hearing heart. Let's develop a hearing heart. Refuse to allow the brokenness of this world, brokenness of other people, and your own brokenness to harden your heart. Refuse it. But instead, attend to God. Worship Him. Make Him a priority. He is greater than the brokenness, greater than the illness, greater than the rejection. And then humble yourself, acknowledge, God, there's a lot of fear in me, there's a lot of things that I'm stubborn with, many things that I try to control, but I will bow down my ear instead of listening to my own voice, instead of listening to the voice of others, instead of listening to the voice of dysfunction. I bow down my ear wanting to hear your voice, Lord.